This morning, we are embarking on a new adventure as a church community. Over the next several weeks, we will be exploring together the issue of how to ensure that everyone has the food that they need, using a process that we are calling Honest Conversations. It promises to be an adventure and maybe a challenging step outside our comfort zones for some of us. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are skeptical or unsure, or maybe even a little anxious about the process. After all, this kind of discussion in the church is something new and different, something we haven't tried before. At the same time, I'm excited to hear our discussion and see what shared ideas and values come out of this process. And I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to really listen to the stories each one of us brings to this issue. It's also important before we start to acknowledge that our honest conversations are rooted in our shared faith in Jesus the Messiah, and in a God who loves each and every person deeply. The story of Jesus feeding hungry crowds of followers will form the foundation of our discussions and our preaching over the next several weeks. This story is a familiar one to those of us who grew up in the church. I'm wondering if any of you remember acting it out in Sunday school or drawing pictures of loaves and fishes in Vacation Bible School. I know I do. It's one of the very few stories that appear in all four Gospels: the baptism of Jesus, the triumphal entry, the crucifixion and resurrection, and this simple yet surprising story of Jesus multiplying a small amount of food into enough to feed thousands of people. This is a story that was clearly important to early Christians. It was a clear example of how God responds to humanity's deepest needs. And it was important enough that all four gospel writers included it. The specific version that Julie just read for us is actually the second feeding story in Matthew's gospel. The story began in the desert near the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had traveled through northeastern Galilee, where he healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. When he got to the Sea of Galilee, he climbed up a mountain and sat down. By this point in his ministry, Jesus had gained quite a reputation for healing people. So as soon as he sat down, he was flooded with crowds bringing their loved ones to experience his healing touch. For several days, he cured people who were blind, who were injured, who were unable to speak or unable to walk. Time and time again, he healed those who needed him. And the people in the crowd were amazed. They recognized these healings as miraculous and praised God for them. After 3 days of this, I can only imagine that Jesus might have felt a little overwhelmed by the crush of the crowds, the constant demand for his healing touch, the needs everywhere he looked. And yet, even in his exhaustion, Jesus looked out over the crowd gathered and was filled with compassion. He didn't see a crush of demands on his time and energy. He saw a people who had been with him for 3 days and were now famished. And so he called his disciples to him and told them he didn't want to send these people away hungry because they might faint on their trip home. What would you think if you were one of the disciples hearing this? Jesus' suggestion to feed the crowd was unusual. Teachers like Jesus were not usually responsible for feeding their followers. In fact, the followers more often were the ones extending hospitality by inviting their teacher to come and eat with them. The crowd that had gathered was huge, larger than most Galilean villages they had traveled through. In modern-day terms, there were enough people gathered around Jesus to fill the Grand Ole Opry House. And the disciples didn't have anywhere close to enough food handy to feed a crowd that large. They were gathered in a remote desert area on a mountain near a lake, far away from any sources of food. So when Jesus suggested feeding the crowd, the disciples asked a reasonable question: where are we going to get enough food for all of these people? After all, they had only a few small loaves of bread and a few fish among them, not nearly enough to feed so many. And yet Jesus stepped up and made this meager offering into an abundant meal that fed the entire crowd. He took on the role of host by blessing the food and giving it to the disciples to distribute. And all ate and were filled with 7 big baskets full of bread left over. Jesus transformed scarcity into abundance and fed those who were hungry with seemingly limited resources. Jesus ensured everyone was filled, everyone had enough, no one left hungry. Over the centuries, scholars have tried to explain how this miracle happened. Some believe this was a miraculous event that Jesus actually made happen. He multiplied the food available to create enough for everyone. Others believe the meal was a sacrament, like the Lord's Supper, where everyone in the crowd received a small bit of bread and was fed spiritually. Still others believe this was a lesson in unselfishness. By sharing what little food he and the disciples had, Jesus quietly modeled generosity, which encouraged others to bring out the food they had with them to share with others, so that everyone contributed to the entire crowd having more than enough to eat. We don't know which of these interpretations is correct, but trying to determine whether or not the feeding of the crowd was an actual miracle sort of misses the point of the story. This is a story of God's abundance expressed through human hands. God was the source of the feeding, but the resources God used to feed the crowd belonged to the disciples. God honored, used, and magnified the work of the disciples in order to feed more than 4,000 people that day. God cares for God's children and provides what is needed. But it is the work of God's people to collect and distribute the resources so all are fed. In several of the other gospel stories of feeding crowds, Jesus explicitly instructed the disciples, "You give them something to eat." In our country today, food is abundant. We produce far more than enough food to feed our entire population. And yet, far too many people still go to bed hungry at night. Many families have to choose between buying food and paying rent, or buying diapers, or paying for prescription medications. Thousands of children who receive free breakfast and lunch during the school year go hungry during the summer. And these aren't just statistics. They are stories of the struggles and tough decisions of real people. People like 43-year-old J.B. Hillman Rochelle from Detroit, who was profiled in a report by the Fair Food Network entitled Small Plates, 5 Personal Stories of Food Insecurity in Metro Detroit. J.B. cares for her 83-year-old mother who has late-stage dementia. Her mother receives Medicare, but J.B. has no health insurance. She pays $447 a month to rent a 2-bedroom apartment in a subsidized housing complex with poor ventilation and very little maintenance. She drives an unreliable 2001 Jeep that badly needs repairs. JB receives $16 a month in SNAP benefits, what we used to call food stamps. She relies on free food from 4 different church food pantries to supplement the food she's able to buy. High gas prices and car troubles make it difficult for her to get to the grocery store to buy healthy food. Some nearby supermarkets are dirty, some carry food well past their Best Buy dates, and others take advantage of shoppers by advertising sale prices and then not honoring them at the checkout. She's been told, just go shop at Trader Joe's, but she can't afford to drive there in her unreliable car. And so she does everything she can to stretch her $16 government benefit and her small earnings to feed herself and her mother every day. And stories like JB's are not limited to Detroit or other big cities. According to Live Healthy Gwinnett, more than 1 out of every 10 people in Gwinnett County faces food insecurity, And 1 in 5 children lives in a family that can't afford regular food. This is an us problem, one that affects our own community and our own neighbors, not just a them problem happening far away. So how can we, as followers of the risen Christ, the same one who fed crowds of followers with very few resources, help ensure that people have the food they need? That's the issue we will be discussing over the next few weeks. It's a challenging issue, and it's one that would be too easy to ignore for those of us who have pantries and refrigerators full, and cars that can get us to any store we choose, and enough money left over to eat out at restaurants. It's also an issue that goes to the heart of our faith in an abundant God. Is food security something everyone deserves, or something each individual must do enough to earn? What about children, the elderly, and people who are disabled? Should they have enough food to eat? Who deserves to be fed until they are full? Whose responsibility is it to make sure people have enough to eat? What steps might we take to ensure food security in our community and beyond? How can we follow Jesus' command, "You give them something to eat"? It may feel strange to talk about such a challenging issue as this in church, but our willingness to come together, to listen, to hear each other, and to find common values that may guide us forward is a sign that the Holy Spirit is active and working among us. I don't have the answers. Teresa doesn't have the answers. But we're interested in exploring the big questions with all of you. And so we are inviting you into a conversation. Starting next Sunday morning in Sunday school, we will come together to discuss how we could help ensure that all people have the food they need to survive and thrive. We will have some time to share our own stories and talk about how this issue touches our own lives. We will take time to really listen to each other. And sometimes we will disagree, and that's okay, because we are coming together, guided by the Spirit, to see and hear each other. If this is an issue you're passionate about, join us. If you've never thought about food insecurity as a faith issue before, join us. If you want to hear what others think, join us. And if you're unsure, join us anyway. For I can promise you that no matter what our conversations look like, we will gather as the body of Christ. I can't guarantee we will miraculously feed everyone as Jesus did. In fact, that's very unlikely. But we will explore ideas, gather our resources, see how we can share them, and enable God's abundance to manifest among us. May God bless us and guide us as we enter into this holy conversation together. Will you join us? Amen.